Blog Talk Radio.
God bless you, everyone. This is Minister Miller. This is Dirty Church Radio right now. And we just wishing all of y'all out there, y'all listeners out there, you know what I'm saying, a blessed night. I hope y'all had a great time in service or whatever your day was like today. My prayers go out to all the mothers, the fathers, the families that are trying their best to make it in these times right now. I thank God for my family, my wife, my kids, you know what I'm saying? Our brother Aaron Spradley, our co-host, he should be on here with us soon. And our other co-host, Apostle Louis Young, he should be calling in soon. But today we're going to start y'all off with a world premiere of a song that I have wrote. It's called I Am the Treasure. It is performed by my best friend, Showtime, who is an artist. He's on the albums. He's doing a lot of big things. He's worked with a lot of artists. He has traveled all over the world. But this is a song that God gave me in my sleep. It's called I Am the Treasure, meaning that you are valuable. You may have went through trials. You may have made so many mistakes. You may have had many failures in your life. You may have been hurt, stepped on, criticized, told you'll never be nothing. You may have been molested. You may have been tortured. You may have been spit on, abused in all different type of ways. And you may be going through hell right now. But I just want to let you know that you are the treasure. Regardless of what you're feeling right now, you mean something and you are valuable and you have purpose because God created you. And everything that he's created, he created with purpose. He created everything with purpose. So just know, I hope this song bless you right now. I pray that all of y'all be blessed, and I pray this song blesses y'all. Amen.
Thank you.
Yes. I hope everyone out there enjoyed the song. I hope it touched someone's life in some type of way. I hope it just ministered to you whatever way that you needed to be ministered to. Right now we have our brother Aaron Spradley, our co-host, and our Apostle Louis Young on the line. What's
How's
going on, brothers?
Doing good.
How's everybody tonight,
me?
Man? Yeah, we can hear you clear, man. What's going on with y'all brothers?
Just relaxing. Dealing with this loss we had today with the Eagles, but it's still early.
Yeah, it's still early, man. It was a close one too.
Yeah,
man.
I think we
if you guys actually read the word and you know you really get into the Bible, it's always predicted that the Eagles will lose. You can actually find it in Psalms 37, chapter 6, verse, I believe it's on there.
Oh, what do it say?
The eagles shall lose their wings and fall.
Oh. So now we definitely ain't rightly dividing the word, is we? We
adding. That's Captain Context right there.
Yeah, but you know what? Today, discussion, man, you know what I'm saying? We was going to talk about one topic, but I was led to switch it up. I don't feel it was the right timing or season for it right now, but you know what today's topic is? We said we was going to discuss why does disagreement in the church bring separation? Why does disagreement in the church bring separation?
Well, may I actually ask Apostle Lou why he thinks disagreement brings separation in the church?
Well, the only answer that I came up with was for the same reason disagreement can bring separation in the house.
Okay.
Disagreement is disagreement. Now, what I would like to do though is ask this question or make the statement rather. I guess it would depend on what the disagreement is.
What's about? Okay.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Now in church, usually the disagreements come when you start talking about money, for most cases, or when you have something that maybe the pastor might have said, and some of the church agrees with it, some of the church don't. I feel like no disagreement should be allowed to fester, especially in the church. But that's not the topic. The topic is, you know, the topic is what it is. So, I mean,
well,
I think I may have an answer. I'm sorry, I didn't know you was about to talk. Go ahead.
Yeah, what I was my perception of it was when I was thinking about why does disagreement bring separation in the church? You know, a lot of times, you know, we have different denominations. We have different, you know, just like if you had a record company and then people start branching off and they start, you know, having, you know, sons and daughters in a sense. But it seemed like in the church, a lot of times it seemed like if I don't agree with something you say or if I don't agree with one thing, now I have to go start my own thing. But since I start my own thing, since I agree with you one way, now I have to leave the wrong way when I start my own thing. And it makes us be separated. I mean, I'm just wondering, why is it always that if we disagree on one thing, why does it have to bring complete separation? Or why?
May I interject?
Yes, you can.
Okay. This is Aaron, a.k.a. Devil's Advocate. So, you know, I'm actually, you know, my job is...
You like
is
that to, name, don't you?
Yeah, I do. I really admire it.
You like being called the devil's advocate?
For this show's purpose, yes, I do. It's awesome. I think one of the hugest reasons, or the biggest reasons why there is separation in the church is because of doctrine.
Okay.
Most people have, or a lot of people that may be in the same denomination, one may have a different doctrine personally. And if one person has a different doctrine that is not coinciding with the doctrine of the house, which is the church, they're usually led to start their own ministry and have their own doctrine. And actually, I don't see anything wrong with that, because people are going to have different beliefs within a same faith, within the same, Christianity. I mean, it's happening now, and it's been happening since first century, second century, you know, the early church. It's been happening ever since then. So I'm not necessarily surprised that it would happen now, and I think it would continue to happen because everybody does not have the same doctrine and aren't going to believe the same things.
Okay.
Then
but you know what?
Spirituality and religion.
Okay. Well, let me ask you this question. Why is it that it seems like, all right, everyone has different doctrines in church, you know, and in church, normally the average church believe that Jesus brings salvation. Can we agree on that? Like, that Jesus, you know, he's the Son of God.
Within Christianity, yes.
Within Christianity. That's what we're talking about. We're talking about, you know, within Christianity, right? So why is it that we let, let's say if you're not supposed to cut your hair or you cut your hair, and that's something that's our doctrine in the church.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Why is it that in church we let things like that override the main purpose?
I'm going to tell you why.
Why does it override the main purpose? And the main purpose of it all is what brings unity. It seems like it's the other little things that we seem like we magnify more than the main purpose. And it's almost seem like, yo, it's about me being right. Everyone wants to be right, proven right, like I'm right. You know what I'm saying? Like, so if I teach that you're not supposed to wear pants in church, so now that overrides everything. So now, since we disagree on that, now we can't even have fellowship. And you'll tell me that, you know, I'm right or I'm out of the will of God. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, I totally understand what you mean. To respond to that, belief is very, very, very personal. Very personal. And you also have to understand, if you're taking whatever religion you're into, if you're actually taking that, since we're talking about Christianity, if you take the book that we actually use for instruction and the very book we claim to be the Word of God, when you take that book in its most literal sense, most people will disagree on a lot of things, because a relationship through religion is very, very personal. So if, for instance, a very, very, very huge, huge topic, which actually separates a lot of churches, besides the mundane things like clothing and things like that, but a lot of people, some churches actually believe in once save, always save. And then another church may not believe in once save, always save. And since that is something that people hold very, very dear to, because it's dealing with salvation, people may take that into offense and say, because this is something that I truly believe can't be the case, they would literally branch off because it's so personal, because it's so passionate. I mean, we're talking about religion here. Religion is, I mean, a lot of people's foundation in their life. So when something that holds that much of an importance into your life, you take it very serious and you take it very personal. So if someone doesn't agree with your doctrine or your beliefs that you take very personal, you're going to be offensive and you will leave. I mean, it's only right for you to.
You know, especially if grandmom and grandpop and great-grandmom and grandpop and uncles and all that held that and they preach that constantly, and if you begin to look at it like if you go against that, you're offending them, even though you might come into the truth of something that you know what I mean, it's proven that that's wrong, but it seemed like the tradition of it, you'll still want to hold on to it because the ones that you love very dear held on to it.
Well, and a lot of times you can't necessarily prove someone's belief to be wrong. You may prove a lot of their doctrine to be wrong, but you can't prove someone's belief being wrong because belief, like I said, is something personal. And nobody can necessarily take that away from you because a belief belongs to you. And that's how you interpret whatever type of religion you're into. But, all right, I can basically separate, let's say all three of us went to church. I can separate us right now. All right, I have a question pertaining to Jesus.
Well, before you ask that question, because I feel we getting ready to move off the topic.
No, I wasn't going to move off, okay.
Just to interject, before you say that, let me just interject something. First of all, we all agree that there's a difference between doctrine and tradition.
Can you give us definitions of both of them?
Okay. I wish I had my thing here. A tradition is usually guided by just the thoughts of a man. A doctrine is supposed to have some kind of biblical or religious foundation.
But isn't doctrine teaching?
Yeah, doctrine is teaching.
So can you be taught a tradition?
Yes.
Yeah, what it says here, it says doctrine is a codification of beliefs or a body of teachings, of instruction.
Yeah. Well, a tradition can be taught as well. But
mm-hmm.
What separates a tradition from a doctrine, a tradition is just something that you do out of ritual. Or ritual is not even a good word because you do
tradition is
out of rituals as well.
I'll read the definition. Tradition is a ritual, belief, or
hey,
object cast,
you know what,
down
we got another,
within a society.
I think we got another caller on the line too, man.
Okay.
If you want to chime in.
Well, I wasn't done, but.
Yeah, no, go ahead. You can still talk. I just want to let y'all know. Hello?
Oh.
Yes, I'm here. Who's that on the line?
Yes, I'm calling from Michigan. I'm Matt too.
From where?
Michigan.
Oh, what's going on, bro?
Not much, man. Just listening to y'all finna open up a can of worms that I don't think none of y'all want to eat.
Before he opened that can of worms, let me finish. First of all, when you go join a church, most churches have their doctrinal belief where you can read it. All right, that's why a lot of churches now, they have new members class, because in a new members class, all of those things are discussed in the new members class. Now, normally, if you have some kind of background in church, when you go to new members class and a doctrinal belief comes up in new members class and you don't necessarily agree with it, that's your time to really bring it to the forefront before you are officially brought before the church as a member of the church. Because normally, before you receive the right hand of fellowship, you got to go through new members class, and they do that just to make sure you're in agreement with whatever the guidelines or the doctrinal beliefs are set up by the church.
Uh-huh.
Now, I said all that to say this. nine times out of ten, when there's a disagreement, and you're going to always have disagreements whenever there's an assembly of different minds, different people, but nine times out of ten, when somebody leaves disgruntled, upset about a disagreement, it's because they're leaving in under the influence of rebellion. That's not always the case, but most often that's the case. So therefore, that's really where the separation comes, where, you know, you can't fellowship with the church, you can't do anything, because you have such, it's almost a hatred towards that former leader or that former church because of the disagreement. But it should never get that far, especially if we all saying we're serving the same God and we loving the same God. It should never get to the place where we can't even agree to disagree.
I understand.
Nine times out of ten, when somebody leaves the church disgruntled like that, they're leaving in rebellion.
Okay.
And you know what? That's what I was wondering. That's what I'm trying to figure out. Why is it that every time we disagree on one thing or two things, whatever, why does it make complete separation? Like, you know what I mean? Why does it have to be that way when God or our faith in God is the thing that's supposed to bring us together?
Can we allow our guest to answer that?
Wait, yes, he can. Our guest from Michigan. Yes, he can. He can.
Yeah.
Time in.
Yeah. What I was going to say is, I think if you look underneath, you know, beliefs and faith, and faith-based beliefs and things of that nature, I think that's, you see the universal weakness in that way of thinking. Let me be more specific. When you talk about the history of religions and faith-based beliefs and things of that nature, when you tie it back into history, you kind of get a good idea of where those concepts came from, what they were used for, what they were needed for. And basically, religions, they grew out of, and belief systems, they grew out of what the community need was. In other words, didn't nobody mail it to them, mail a book and say, hey, check this out and believe in this and have faith in this. That ain't how it works. And if you look at the majority of blacks, that's kind of the way that we got our belief systems and our faith systems. They didn't grow out of a community, and they're not tied to our history. And so when they weak like that, any little thing could separate us.
Mm. I like Mr. Michigan.
Yes. Yeah. I hear that.
There's an African saying that you can leave a log in the water for a million years, and it would never turn into a crocodile. See? That's how you... And this, where there's facts, you don't need faith.
That's true. May I ask a question? What religion are you, if you are any?
I don't really practice any religions.
You don't practice any religion?
No. I do study, you know, ancient African culture and some of the.
Yeah, I kind of surmise that. AJ. He like my boy Ellis from Atlanta.
Okay.
Well, I mean,
but you know what? That's what this show is all about. This talking, it's minds. Me, I believe, you know, God. My personal belief, God created everybody, and everybody has thoughts, and everybody has a mind. They think different thoughts, different perceptions. So this show is a show that is willing and not scared to allow someone to let us see what their mind is saying or how their mind is thinking. And that's what this show is all about. You know what I'm saying? Okay. Even if we disagree, we can still come together. You know what I'm saying?
Well, can I ask this question?
Go ahead.
And this is actually something I just thought about while the brother was speaking. And he was basically gearing his statement to towards religion. But the same thing happens in corporate America. Same thing happens in business. Somebody can be a part of a business, have a disagreement against how maybe the owner of the business is running the business. They get into a disagreement, have an argument, and then the guy, out of rebellion, goes and starts his own business.
Why would you actually say out of rebellion? Because I don't agree necessarily with your views.
I'm going to tell you why it's rebellion.
Yeah.
It's the difference, and maybe I should explain this like this here. They have an argument, all right?
Mm-hmm.
They going back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And he says to the owner, well, I don't like the way you running your business. I think you're stupid, and I think I could do a better job. I think I can start a business and do it better than you. Because 9 times out of 10, it might not be that verbiage, but that's kind of the attitude that the person that's disgruntled has.
Well,
it's the difference when you say, well, you know what, I don't necessarily agree with how he runs his business. I think he's a nice guy. I just don't think he really knows what he's doing.
So I think I'm just going to leave. How does that lie under the rebellion?
The first scenario lies under rebellion because he's leaving to prove that he can do something better than the owner.
Well, you know what? Well, my take on that, it all depends on how it happens, because I believe in corporate America, every man has the right to start his own business. You know what I mean? Like, that's my opinion. Regardless of how it goes down. But I think more so in church, my whole point from the church angle or in Christ or religion, however you want to call it, is if our thing is that we're supposed to love each other, all right, we're supposed to be a light, we're supposed to shine, we're supposed to express the love of God to one another and to others. So if we disagree on the issue, it should not bring separation to us. Even if I do go start another church and I do my own thing, I believe that there should still be a line of fellowship there. It shouldn't have to always leave on a bad note because we disagree.
Well, I'm going to interject, if I may.
Go ahead.
I think that it actually does lead to bad blood. Does it always have to? No. But in reality, because religion and belief, like I say, it's so personal, and because of religion, that's why a lot of wars happen, that's why a lot of deaths happen, that's why a lot of things, yes, and still happen to this day, because of religion and because, but like I said, that's something very, very personal to each and every individual. And because it's something personal, you are basically attacking my person. So if you are attacking my person, then I have every right to be upset at you. For instance, if somebody attacks you, somebody attacks your family, somebody attacks something that belongs to you, that you hold dear to you, you will be offended by it. No matter what you say, no matter how much God you claim you have, you will be offended by it. Can you actually get over it? Maybe. It just depends on your character. But because, like I said, religion is something that's so personal, it's your right, I believe. It's your right to separate yourself from a belief that you no longer may hold to, or a different view in belief that you no longer may hold to. I think it's really much so your right to do so. And I understand coming from a Christian aspect, but even from a Christian aspect, it's unrealistic.
But what I'm saying is, all right, so if you do that, right, let's say you do separate because you feel as though you have the right to separate, but you're still proclaiming that you're a person of love and you're a person of unity, how can you move and to somewhere else and proclaim the love when you can't still establish the love or a fellowship of what you left? You don't have to believe what they believe. One thing you might disagree on, but the main thing you
agree on is God is the God of love. So if God is the God of love and I'm representing him, I can't let this situation turn to the point where we're enemies over a disagreement when we're supposed to love one another, when we're supposed to follow peace with all men. You know
true indeed.
Like, so,
yes, it's true. Coming from a Christian's, especially a modern post Christian point of view, yes, you are supposed to love God. God is supposed to be the God of love, which I don't necessarily agree with. But God is supposed to be the God of love. But I have a question for you. If someone came to your house and actually harmed anyone in your family, and this person actually went to church with you, do you believe that you will actually have the love of God for that person, face value, right then and there, after that person harmed your family and you seen that person the next day in church? Do you think that you would still have love for that person?
But the discussion is disagreement.
Yeah, exactly. And
No, it's a difference. Like, if you come over and you do something to my child in my household,
that don't have nothing to do with church.
Listen.
You know what I mean?
That's not
a disagreement.
Oh,
way beyond.
No, listen to what I'm saying to you. Just listen for 1 second and understand where I'm coming from. Religion, may I ask, has anybody ever died over religion before?
Yes, plenty of people.
Yes, all the time.
Okay, yes. Plenty of people have died over religion. If that's the case, that must tell you religion is something very personal, something that people hold to a personal value. To be honest, some people hold religion higher than they hold their wives and women.
Yeah.
And a lot of other things. With that being said, yes, it is that detrimental to some people. It is that serious to some people. It is coming in my house harming my family because you're harming something that's personal to me, which is my belief, my religion. That's personal to a lot of people. And because you just claim that people do kill over religion and belief, it has to be something personal. It has to be something that serious.
Okay.
Well, but that's why
I think we're getting a little off the topic.
Because I think the discussion is disagreement. Why does disagreement in a church bring separation?
And like I said, I don't think it's going off of topic. I believe disagreement happens in the church, and it causes separation because religion is personal. It is very personal to people.
I'm hearing both sides, but you know what I think y'all haven't done, which it'll keep, you know, I hear both of y'all, but what y'all haven't done is to define what the disagreement is. Let me give an example. I used to be in church. Let's say that two groups start disagreeing about how to spend the money. Well, that may be grounds, you know, for separation. But y'all really haven't said what is the disagreement. Now, I think if you want to go and say, well, it's the doctrine that we're disagreeing over. And I think that's where the brother's point come in at. Hey, you talking about life and death? Nah, we disagree with, say, you know, like it used to be a time where women weren't supposed to wear pants in the church, right? You know, years ago, in the black church, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, you done had churches back in the older days, they fell out over that.
Get big time.
Right? Women ain't supposed to be in the pulpit, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I say you probably need to be more specific about, well, what is the disagreement? Because, like you said, if it's your belief, then some disagreements is going to cause that separation that you probably can't fix.
I
hear what he was saying, but that's what we're talking about. Disagreement in the church, period. Whether it is the pants, whatever it is. My whole thing is what I'm trying to say is, why does the disagreement outweigh the purpose of
I can sum this up real quick. All right, because it really don't matter what the disagreement is. What the problem is, we're not doing what the Bible says. And the Bible says that we're supposed to come together and reason. Mm-hmm. 9 times out of 10, ain't nobody coming together, talking stuff out. People get mad, leave. And that's why I said when the situation is like that, 9 times out of 10, they leaving under rebellion. And the reason why they're leaving under rebellion is because nobody came. I didn't hear your side. You didn't hear my side. There can't be a dialogue without hearing from both sides. And that's where the problem is when it comes to even leadership. Nobody in leadership should ever feel like they got all the answers to where they can't listen to nobody.
The problem is
leaders get in these positions, they get these titles, and they don't want to listen to nobody. All right, I'm the pastor, I'm the bishop, I'm the apostle, I'm the one hearing from God, I got the answers. So therefore, leaders are provoking the laity of the church to rebellion because the leaders don't want to listen.
All right,
but you're not always right.
I actually, I agree somewhat. When you said the Bible says, you know, let us reason together. I mean, that makes perfect sense. But no matter how much you reason, a lot of times when people see different views of doctrine and belief in a totally different way, I don't care how much you reason together, you're going to like a lot of people say, agree to disagree. And even in the Bible, wasn't there situations when the early church actually had disagreements. Paul actually had disagreements with the disciples. It actually happened a couple of times.
If you don't ever come together, you will never get to the place where you can agree to disagree.
Yeah,
because in order for you to come to that place, you have to hear all angles of the story, all sides of the story.
And that way,
if you do decide to separate, you can separate at peace with one another. So when you do see that person, it's not all this hatred, bitterness, wrath. You can separate and separate in love. But if you don't never come together and talk,
I actually have a question for you, Apostle. Did Paul and I believe it was Barnabas, did they actually separate on good terms or bad terms?
They separated on good terms.
Are you sure about that?
Yeah.
I was aware.
They were not bitter enemies. If that's what you're trying to allude to, that's not the case.
I thought they actually separated on bad terms. They weren't actually agreeing with each other, and they didn't necessarily leave as friends. They didn't leave as enemies either, but they didn't leave as friends either.
Well, that's still the same thing. Paul wrote letters to Barnabas after that situation.
But in that situation, the thing that I like about that situation, even though they separated, they looked at the purpose greater than their dispute.
Right.
If we can't, you know what I'm saying? So, like, if we're going to separate, we're still going to continue our journey and complete our assignment. We're not going to let that make us become enemies because we still have the same goal, and that's to spread the gospel. That's to spread the word of God. That's to take this word from where we are to the uttermost parts of the world.
So, Jay, my question to you is, I'm sorry.
I think most churches, from listening to the brother right here, I think most churches do still do that. In other words, even if they split, I mean,
yes.
if they understand their mission to be to save souls, well, if they start another church, they still saving souls. So,
I was going to say the same thing.
Yeah, so that they don't got to come past your church and blow and say, what's up? You know, if that's the purpose to save souls, well, if they split and they still saving souls, then y'all still on one accord. So how would
they? I believe so. I actually believe. I was going to say the same exact thing.
Yeah.
Same exact thing.
What's the problem?
No, the problem a lot of times is that when they leave,
they leave wrong.
They leave it, like when they leave or they separate bad, where they're looking at each other as the enemy based upon the disagreement. So now they forget about the purpose that they supposed to have before the disagreement. agreement took place.
I thought the purpose was saving souls.
Right. No. So I hear what you're saying, right? But if I'm saving souls and I'm preaching the love of Christ and I'm preaching, all right, I'm preaching unity, all right? So now if I can't have unity with you and we got the same goal, now I'm out here and I'm doing the same thing, but now I'm doing it in vain because I'm just talking now. I'm not living it because I should be able to fellowship with my brother.
I don't necessarily believe that we ultimately have to get along. Like I said, because beliefs are so valuable to some people, and because I may believe something that's totally separate from you, whether we ended on bad terms or not, I could be cordial and not necessarily have to deal with you, but my ministry is still preaching the gospel or preaching the Quran or preaching the Torah. I mean, my view is still the same, but because of that one disagreement that's very dear to me, I can't fellowship with you, and that will always be the case because, like I said, religion is so dear to people. Certain things they are not going to allow to be a part of their doctrine. Like for instance, you're trying to give an example. The whole notion of once saved, always saved. There are churches that wholeheartedly believe in that, and then there are churches that totally disagree with that to the point where they will disagree with you in a very, very condescending, negative way and will literally kick you out their churches at times.
And I hear what you're saying there, right? But you know what the greatest point of that whole situation is?
Mm-hmm.
That both of them believe that Jesus saves.
Mm, yes.
That's the greater purpose of it. Whether it's once saved or always saved or not saved, always saved, the main thing is their agreement is that he does save.
Yes, but
so why can't that perception, why can't people grab that?
You know why? Because the end result of it, which is because I think that no matter what I do, I still fall under the grace of God. And the other person says, no, you don't fall under the grace of God, so you're going to hell. So because their faith allows them to see me in hellbound, you know what I'm saying, in a hellbound position, they're always going to look at me in that respect. No matter how else they view me, no matter how friendly they are with me, they're always going to see me in that light.
See, that's what, when my original comments, brother, when I said, when you look deep into this conversation, that's where the universal weakness in all of us, you can see the universal weakness.
Mm-hmm.
That's the universal weakness. I say universal. Now, like you said, as an individual, if you believe you got to be saved and this and that, to me, beliefs should be more personal than communal, you know what I'm saying, trying to make everybody have the same beliefs.
Yeah.
Because, like you said, you can't really, well, I heard one of your brothers say it, you can't really argue with a man's beliefs because they don't have to be factual. They really don't. They could believe anything. What you going to argue with them for?
Yeah. I mean,
I agree with that. You don't, not to argue with nobody based upon their belief, because they're going to believe what they believe. You can't make nobody believe anything.
Because belief isn't based on fact. Belief is based on personal preference that I hold dear to my heart.
Right.
You know, so, I mean, you know, that's really, but I have a question for you, Jay, I have a question for you.
Okay.
Do you think that America is one of the countries that just don't know how to unify in general? Like, do you actually see more unity in other countries? Even dealing with religion, do you see more unity within other countries besides America? Like, me personally, I don't necessarily see America being a united country, even though that's actually what we're supposed to stand for. But I don't see us being a united country, especially through religion, because we are a very free country, and you know it's kind of built on us to be, you know, we can believe and serve any type of God we choose to serve. So, do you actually believe America is more of a united country dealing with, you know, religion rather than other countries?
No, put it this way. I believe America has the potential to be, because there are many different races, nationalities, and different people in America. So I believe America has more potential to be unified with different people than other places.
Okay. How about you, the brother from Michigan?
Yeah, I think that's two things in that question. I think if you look at the way Europeans use religion, they don't use religion for the same thing that blacks use it for. Now, this might be that can of worms here. They, if you notice, as it relates to their community, they're unified. See, they don't use religion like we use it. Religion is secondary to them. It's primary for us. So this is what you get. When you say, is America unified? I'll just give you some statistics. Since it's been incorporated, the wealth of America is still in the same hands.
Mm-hmm.
The agenda around the world for America is still the same. The pride in America is still the same. So there's a unity there, even though you got a different types of European Christianity.
I can definitely see that. Jay, I have a question for you. Are there any callers calling in?
Yeah, it's another caller. I punched him in. It's from a 973-640-9797.
Okay.
They, I don't know if they are on. I pushed them in, so if they on, they can talk. We can hear them.
Hey, good evening, fellas.
How you doing?
Hello?
Bro?
Good evening, bro.
Hi, what's up? How y'all feeling tonight?
Good, man. Where you from, brother?
I'm actually from Jersey.
Okay.
And first I want to say, shout out to those Giants. You know the Eagles lost today. It's all good. It's all love. I saw that's how y'all kicked off the show, so I went.
Oh, you know what? This voice sounds familiar.
Yo, Jay, what's good, my brother?
Yeah, what's going on, bro? How you doing, man?
All right. I see y'all doing your thing. You know what I mean? Yeah. I think deep down inside, just a little bit, I know y'all was trying to tie everything together, but y'all got this far off with the disagreement, bringing the separation into the church thing. Like, y'all went into all of the, let's say, the biblical sense, with people just really trying to understand the simpleness of what European next against the next opinion may have to say towards each other, or why we don't agree, or why we may stand, or why we may choose for this certain situation to come about.
Okay. What do you mean by that?
Yeah, you gotta finish that up, bro.
Meaning, overall, any disagreements in church is because of man filling himself. If we all follow one reason, one God, one faith, one, then there shouldn't be no real reason for us to have any disagreement.
Well, the only reason why I can't necessarily agree with that is because I, as well as a lot of other people, like I said, I'm taking the devil's advocate on this one. The Bible can be a very arbitrary book, meaning that the Bible can mean whatever you choose it to mean, whether
right.
you agree with it or not.
Right.
Since that's the case, I may view certain ideologies and beliefs through the Bible totally different than you may. And depending on my culture and my background and my upbringing,
right.
that definitely
right.
plays a big role in it as well.
Now, when you say you're going to play the devil advocate, that's just something you choose to do, or that's what you really believe?
Are you saying
that to make another question come out of the situation, or is that what you really believe?
Yes. My job on the show is to actually stir the conversation to the point.
What do you believe, sir?
No, but I'll pick it up from there.
Okay, go ahead.
That's exactly what I believe. It's Michigan. That's exactly what I believe.
Michigan.
So now, yes. That's exactly what I believe.
What the devil advocate man said?
Yeah, what he said. He called himself the devil's advocate, but but I think innately, man, if we use science, man, what he's saying is actual. You feel me? You can read into that book something, and somebody else can read it to us. Now, who's to say you're right and they're wrong? What's the measure?
Well, some may actually say it's the measure of faith and the measure of the Holy Spirit leading you. Well, that is basically up for opinion too, because who's to say that my spirit is the right spirit, or, you know, so I mean that as well can be very, very arbitrary as well. So
see, that's the universal weakness in it I was telling y'all about. Let me ask y'all brothers this. I was talking with a brother. He was passing out tracks in the park one day. Me and my wife was out there. And so, you know, he came up and was trying to get people to come to his church. He didn't, you know, so you could tell he wanted to talk about churches. So I said, listen, bro. I said, this Bible that you told around. I said, who wrote that? He said, men. But here's what he said. They were inspired by God. I said, okay, I'm not going to argue with you. I said, who told you that? He said, well, they said that. I said, okay. I said, this same God that inspired them. I said, dude, he talked to you? Oh, yeah, he talked to me all day, brother. I said, well, why you ain't toting your Bible around?
Apostle Young, are you still there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
I
didn't even get a chance to comment on your question. That's why I'm not saying nothing.
Oh, I apologize.
Well, go ahead. Still stuck on the question.
You can answer the question, but the question that he just posed about if God speaks to you and God actually spoke to the men who actually were inspired to write the Bible, how come there aren't any Bibles written today?
Well, I'm going to answer the question like this here, because I like the analogy the brother gave, but if I was the brother in the park, I would simply say, because God didn't tell me to write no Bible.
That's the problem.
If God tell me to write a Bible, I write it. But until He tell me to write one, I gotta use what's available to me. So, you know, and I mean, I ain't trying to be trying to be funny. I'm just saying that's the only logical answer that I would be able to come up using my intellect to give it some kind of definitive answer to the question. Now, if God came to me and told me write this, or if God gave me His approval to write a Bible, by all means, I would. Could I say I could sit down and write one now? I can't honestly answer that. But
chime in right there? Can I chime in on that?
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
Is that okay? Now, I look at it a little different. I believe that I am writing the Bible. I believe the way I live my life. I believe everyone on this line, you're writing something down. I believe that the way you live, the way you respond, the way you react to life, you're writing down. It might not be on a paper that you actually see or a pen that you actually see, but I believe the life that you live, the time that you have in this existence, you're writing down. You know what I mean?
Well,
That's from a different aspect.
Yeah. But that's the Bible that I'm writing. It might not be the Bible that you're talking about.
But
you know what I mean?
What? sinner not going to be able to read that Bible.
Well, check this. You can affect people by the life that you live more than so reading
something. Yeah, but affecting people and reading the Bible is, to me, it's two different things. The question was, how come you don't have a Bible? That's what
right.
That's what the question was.
You are the Bible.
But
no,
that's not the question.
No, you're running.
I hear what you're saying, and I agree with what you're saying.
Yeah,
but
realistically,
if you're talking realistic, that's not an answer.
So if he's talking about a literal Bible.
No, it kind of, what you said, Jay, kind of makes sense more poetically, more spiritual.
Right.
You know, that's
right. But listen,
that's the way
we
you're
can't even have this
on.
Conversation. It has to be a spiritual view on here, because everyone are giving their carnal thoughts. Everyone is giving scientific references. Everyone is giving history. So if you're going to talk about
God, brother, I'm inspired by God right now talking to y'all. Just
all right,
there you have it.
Huh?
I said,
are you
going to
challenge that? Yeah, you going to challenge that? I'm being inspired by God right now, what I'm saying to y'all.
That's why I said what I said, Jay. You fell right into it.
You fell right into what?
Okay, well, hold. I have a question. I know we have been talking from within one.
We
one
can go back though, because I want to know what I fell into. I need to hear that.
No, hold. One spectrum of a religion, but may I broaden it? How come you said separation through disagreement in a church? How about separation through all religions? Do you ever think that it would be one day where all religions will actually come together under one belief?
No. Does Michigan say no?
Okay.
I believe that every knee going to bow and every tongue going to confess that he is Lord. I believe that that's when everybody going to come together, when them knees is bowing. That's my belief. Now you go to the next person.
All right. How about you? Jay, I just want to remind you, because I'm having people. I've told a lot of people about the show today, so I'm gonna have a lot of people. A lot of people may be calling in. So if you see any people calling in, you make sure you get to them.
Hold up. It's someone else.
Okay.
I still didn't finish my question, but that's.
Finish your statement. We want everybody to say everything.
I wanted to finish with your question, Aaron.
Okay.
And it's like it eludes me now, because we done talked about so much stuff since your question.
I apologize if I was the reason behind
that's
it.
That's why I'm like, let's stay on topic.
Okay.
But your question was something about America being some kind of example of unity and religion or something like that.
Yes, I actually to reiterate my question, I said that America is actually a liberal state, whereas a liberal country, where as we as a people, we have a lot of freedoms, especially in religion. Do you believe that there are other countries who are more driven by unity through faith than America is, so to speak?
Yes, and I don't agree that America is the prime example of unity, and I'm gonna give you one reason why.
Okay.
Unity will never happen in this country for one reason. How this country was formed. First of all, we came here, we robbed the original inhabitants of this country.
Okay.
We stole the country from them.
Mm-hmm.
After we stole the country from them, European Americans came and tried to shove their beliefs down these people's throat.
Okay.
So if you look at the history of America, America has always been the type of country where they push their beliefs not just on our country, but they try to go in other countries and Americanize those countries.
And I 100% agree with you on that. Now, I just wanted to ask Jay, do we have any more callers calling in?
Yeah, it's a number. I just pushed them in. It's a number, 615-483-6912.
Are you there, caller?
I don't know who that is.
Yeah, this is Christine. I'm here.
Oh, hello, Christine. How are you?
I'm good. How are you all doing?
You're doing very well. Do you have something to interject in the conversation?
Maybe just to your last question. I haven't been listening too long, but just if America is unified and if there are other countries that give that unification more, I think just in general, if we're thinking about the religions of different countries, then I mean, there are lots of countries that are mainly Buddhist or mainly Muslim, and they have a great culture and a great history behind those religions that in general are I guess a lot more of what you would have here in America. But there's also a lot of persecution for people who are Christians in those countries trying to live a Christian life because, like you said, or the caller who said before, that, you know, people are pushing religion on them in other countries. If you're not a Buddhist or if you're not a Muslim, it's kind of hard to be a Christian. It's kind of hard to be something else other than what the majority of your country is. There's a lot of killing and persecution in different countries where I think America, at least it's, if we're not as unified, at least we feel free, and I can go down the street and say I'm a Christian and not have to worry about being killed or my family being persecuted. So there's a lot of freedoms that we have in America that allow us to fully and freely express what we believe in that you don't get in other countries because of their history and because of persecution.
That's a great point right there.
But I actually have a question for you, caller. Yes, we know that America can be a lot more welcome to freedom of religion. But is that actually so? Because we know we are a driven country led by Christianity. The majority of America is a Christian-based country and society. A lot of our laws, a lot of our rules, a lot of our governs are actually governed by Christianity. It wasn't necessarily built on Christianity per se, but Christianity is well influenced. My question to you is, do you think you will ever see, since our country is so liberal in freedoms of religion, do you think that our country will ever see a president who is an atheist? Because I don't.
Absolutely not.
No. And are you asking me specifically or just in general?
Yes. No, I'm asking you. I'm asking you specifically.
I think I agree with you. I mean, I live in the South. I'm from Nashville, and you can pretty much throw a rock and hit a church. It's a Southern belt. Everyone there, I think 95% of people claim to be a Christian, whether or not they're going to church on a regular basis or whatever. And to have anyone in leadership, whether it be the president or even someone that's high leadership, someone that's different, I don't think that you'd see any time in our lifetime someone who claims to not have any claims to the gospel or any religion or a Muslim or anything. It'd be hard for our country to accept anyone who's not a Christian.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Thank you so much, Cole. I really appreciate
it. Yeah.
How about you, Mr. Michigan?
Yeah, I agree with you, sister. I don't think it'll ever happen. And I think America is liberal to the point where if they perceive that another religion or another thought process would change the fundamental nature of the culture, then they'll deal with it.
Yeah.
See, so they say, oh, yeah, come on in. You know, whoever you want to pray to, go ahead, man, do your thing. Because they understand that as long as the culture is lined up and is still running correctly and according to their doctrine, they won't stop that. But that's the history of America, even if you ain't dealing with religion, just like with black movements and stuff. Whenever they pick up enough steam where the culture is threatened, they deal with it.
That's right.
That's exactly what they would do when
that's
it
true.
Came to religion. If
now,
they saw
now,
another religion getting too deep, and converting too many people where it will fundamentally change America, they'll deal with it.
Okay.
So
now,
mainly it's in the numbers.
Apostle,
uh-huh.
Apostle, I have a question for you. You actually dealt with something that was actually interesting. You when you were talking about other countries and in America. the difference in how America actually came and bullied religions on the natives that were actually here. Do you believe that we as Christians, I'm talking about modern Christians today, do you believe, especially the black church, I'll be more specific, the black church, do you think we bully religion on our people?
Yes.
Why?
Because it goes, this thing, that's why I said earlier, there's a difference in doctrine and tradition.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of things that's done in the black church has nothing to do with doctrine. It has everything to do with tradition. And if you ask somebody to explain to you why the black church does some of the things that they do, they can't show you nothing in the Bible to back up what they're saying. If you can't back your doctrine up with something biblical, then it's not a doctrine, it's a tradition. And that's what separates the churches. That's why you got all these different church sects, Church of God in Christ, Church of the Living God, Baptist, Methodist, and all, you have all this stuff because we couldn't come together and agree on one common thing. That's
now,
why I said earlier, is a difference in doctrine and tradition. If we throw tradition out the window, it'd be that much easier for us to come together and attempt to unify. But as long as tradition is outweighing doctrine, you will never be able to come together and reason, like I said earlier. That's
okay.
The problem right there.
Now hold on.
Let me ask you this question. Do you believe when people give up tradition, when they give up their traditions, they lose their identity?
Mm. That's what they need to do.
I think in some kind of ways, tradition can be healthy in some ways. Not always, but a lot of ways, tradition very much so can be healthy.
Now, I'm not saying that all traditions are – please don't misconstrue what I'm saying.
Okay.
I'm not saying that all traditions are bad. Some traditions got us where we are now.
Mm-hmm.
But my thing is, whenever someone is arguing and debating, nine times out of ten, it has nothing to do with biblical doctrine. It has everything to do with tradition.
Okay. Now, just to interject, I'm going to respond to that. Then I have a question for Jay. I think that it does have a lot to do with biblical content. I just believe that it's a different interpretation of the context
right,
that they actually
right.
read.
Exactly.
But Jay, I have a question for you. To narrow it more down, I actually have a two-part question. Do you think that the separation of churches can be healthy in some ways? That's the first question. The second question is, do you believe that, actually pinpointing it, do you believe that black people themselves have problems with actually coming together as a people? So,
well, we
you have
know
two
that.
Questions.
That's, hold up. That's not even, hold up. That's not even just in church, though. That's in
mm-hmm.
general.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Right.
That's just in America, period. That's just with black people, period.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you just look at that right now, look how many of us are just killing ourselves out here, like
mm-hmm.
recklessly. You know what I mean? We killing each other like we playing a video game out here.
You're
you know
right.
what I'm saying? For real.
So,
like, now separation, my thing is like this. Separation in church, if it takes place, if the separation brings doesn't lose the purpose. If me and you separate, right?
Mm-hmm.
But if we keep the purpose alive, if we can keep the purpose of what we had before we separated, I believe separation could be good. And I'm talking about in church, the goal of
okay.
church, the goal of spreading the word, the goal of feeding the hungry, clothing the naked, you know what I mean? Doing the ministry that the church is supposed to do. Now, if the separation in church takes me out of the principles that we're supposed to abide by according to the scriptures that we believe in, according to our faith, then it's a problem. If the separation takes us into a place of error outside of the principles, then it's a problem. But if the separations still keep us within the assignment, I believe it can be good.
Now, I have a question for Mr. Michigan. You said that you actually came from a church background, correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay. My question to you is, since we are trying to develop some type of integration with all churches, and there should be one church and one faith, what do you think, what do you actually think about the whole concept of, as Christians believe, when Jesus comes back, there actually is still going to be separation for believers and unbelievers? Do you think that actually helps the problem with having one faith, or do you think it still deludes and gives people hierarchy over someone else because they say, because I believe, I trump you in its religion? And what do you actually think about that?
Yeah, I think. Well, let me. One thing I wanted, I heard something I wanted to add to, with the different black denominations. Mm-hmm. Now, if you look at the history of those black denominations, most of them had to do with which the slave masters believed that they were on which plantation they came from. So when you talk about Methodist, Baptist, Black Baptist, Pentecostal, just do the history on them. It wasn't that Africans who were enslaved couldn't disagree on a biblical doctrine. Those were doctrines that were picked up from their slave master. Now that's history. This ain't no fact. This ain't no belief or faith. That's a history. That's a historical fact.
Okay.
Now, as far as, see, that's what I'm saying, the universal weakness in trying to make a belief and a faith-based system universal, that's the weakness of it there, because when it's not grounded in historical facts, right,
mm-hmm.
that leaves the door open for interpretation.
Okay, yes, you're right. You're actually right.
And so now you're going to always have that, you know, well, where did you get your interpretation? Well, where you get yours from? Well, where you get yours, you see?
And yeah. But to actually come back to the question that I posed, does the end result of the Christian faith teach oneness, because it talks about how Jesus will separate the sheep from the goats. There will be believers and there will be unbelievers. So in that respect, does the end result of the very faith we try to get people to obtain teaches division?
Okay, let me go this way. See, here's the point of that. Men interpret what makes you a sheep or what makes you the tare or the wheat and the tare, you see?
Mm-hmm.
In other words, there's no universal definition of what the wheat is. There's no universal definition of what the tare is. So when it's left to man's interpretation, that's where the disunity of that is going to come from. And again, that I feel like I'm asking the question as best I can. It's when man have the ability to interpret what the wheat means and what the tare means.
What, can be
who's
right.
Going to heaven and who ain't going to heaven, then that's the issue.
Yep. Who can
okay,
be right?
Okay, so,
well,
so,
Aaron, I got a question for you.
Yes.
Now, when we're dealing with being born again, when Jesus was talking to Nicodemus and he was asking mm-hmm. him, you know, how can he be born again?
Mm-hmm.
Let me ask you this question. According to the Bible, a man that's born again, right, and mm-hmm. a man that's not, are those two individuals on different dimensions? Are they in different worlds according to the scriptures?
According to the scriptures, yes, they are.
All right. So that means if you're born again, according to the scriptures, the ones that are born again,
those are the ones that's considered one. That's oneness right there, because they're now, they're all in the same realm or the dimension or the same world now. They're born from where they were. Now they're no longer that, and they're something else.
Mm-hmm.
But even though the two individuals can still exist, like, in the same world, but they, one is born into another world, according to the scriptures. Right?
Okay. Yes.
And you asked the question about oneness, right?
Mm-hmm.
You asked the question. So my whole thing is, in Christ, according to the scriptures, the only oneness of people is the ones that are in him, that are born again. That's what brings the oneness, according to scriptures.
So, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
My question still stands. You just listen to the question per se. I don't necessarily want to get into the theology of the scriptures, because just like Mr. Michigan said, it's actually up to the person who's interpreting it, how they basically interpret it. But my question stands is, the very faith that we believe in, which is Christianity, that is supposed to teach oneness, is it actually teaching oneness when the premise of it is the end result being one actually being in heaven and the other actually being in hell?
Yeah, but isn't it
wrong? Depends on the interpretation.
Yeah, I'm saying,
no,
though,
that's
isn't
only,
it
that's
wrong
only
to
depend
it?
On interpretation if you listen
Why
to
don't
it like that.
Why don't
yeah, because here's the thing. If, in fact, you have a sect that's going to hell and a sect that's going to heaven, then we are not unified.
Yeah, but
that,
how can you be, how can you be
question
unified?
The question wasn't about unification.
Yes, it was.
How can you be unified if you're not living, if there's a certain set of principles that's laid down, and you got one sect that's going against the principles and one that's following them? It's a consequence behind everything, isn't it?
Well, see, this would be my question to you. If the very thing that I'm teaching is supposed to actually be the very thing that gets us together, just like Apostle Young said, just like Apostle Young said earlier, Europeans actually forced a doctrine on the natives that were actually here, saying that they have to believe this way in order to be right. So basically, what you're doing is you're saying, if you don't believe the way I believe because I know that I'm right, then that means that you put yourself in a category all to yourself. But that very same religion is supposed to teach unification. It's supposed to teach oneness. But how is that so if you're actually bullying me into becoming what you are in order for me to be where you are?
That's why I said what I said.
You don't become me. You don't, like, if I get saved in Christ and you get saved in Christ, we're still different. We're still two different individuals.
Can I say something? That's why I said it depends on the interpretation. And let me explain why I'm saying that. Your interpretation of born again, being saved, could be totally different from my interpretation of being born again and saved. All right? So the thing is, you got to have something that makes this more definitive. And unfortunately, nobody on this phone that I could say, I don't have a definitive answer to that, because it goes back to what I believe, what I've been taught, and what I feel being saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost means to me.
Exactly.
It might mean something totally different to somebody else, because somebody else might feel like they can be a whoremonger, they can lay around with five or six different women, and they can feel like they just as saved as I am.
Mm-hmm.
So my thing is, am I going to sit up and argue with this person and tell them that according to how I believe, they're not saved, they're not Holy Ghost filled? So I really don't even think that's what this radio broadcast should even be about.
Well, it's not about that. It's not about that. It's not about telling somebody that they're
not
saved.
That never even came up.
Oh, yeah, you're right. No. You're absolutely right. He's in that sense, he is right. It can go that way, but, you know, I think we're well capable of enough not to allow it to go that way, with our own beliefs and prejudices. I hope not.
Well, I know I won't allow it to go that way at all.
Yeah.
No, not at all.
My thing is you got to be careful who's listening, because everybody that's on this radio broadcast, we all don't think the same, and that's why I said, you know, let's try to just stay on topic, because if not, you know, it could go left field.
But yeah,
about the whole thing is that it's right now. It's about six people on the line. Oh, hold on. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, like 5 or 6 people on the line, right? Mm-hmm. And everyone on here probably thinks something different or believes something different. But guess what? We all on this line together.
Mm-hmm.
We on this line. You know what I'm saying? So right now we talk about. Is there unity? Can there be? Right now on this radio station, a little piece of that has taken place.
All right, you're right. You're absolutely right. I would like to ask if anybody else that is on the line that haven't had a chance to talk, if they would like to, you know, say something. I don't know who else is on the line.
Area code 615.
I just want to say one more thing, and then it's been really good. And just I believe, 100% in what the Bible says. I do believe in that. I think that looking and thinking about the unfortunate thing is that what the Bible was interpreted for and what it was meant was jaded by the fact that people pushed that religion and forced that into people. I think because of that, a lot of people don't really want to even have anything to do with the Bible because of how it was forced upon them. And that's not how the intention of spread the gospel needed to be. I think from its wholesomeness and from what it's supposed to be, of the overflow of what you have experienced in your relationship with the Lord, should you go and spread the gospel. And it's not I'm pushing this on you as an indigenous people, or, you all must do this outside of slavery. There's been a lot of reasons that people don't believe the Bible is what it is because of how, unfortunately,
may I say something if I can? I think my advice, my solution to our question and our problem that we're faced with the separation, I think if we don't take since we are all Christians to some degree, I believe that if we don't actually take the word in its literal sense at all times, I think it wouldn't be it wouldn't put us in a position where we are separating each other. We're not taking it to the point where we become literalist and everything that the word says becomes doctrine in our lives, to the point where we will shun other people away because they don't believe the way we believe based on how I literally take these words of this first century book.
Can I add something right there, brother?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the point I was trying to make in the beginning. And the way that you get around taking it literal is that you understand the history of religions. That's where you can go back into those cultures, see where these doctrines came from, see what the intent of them was, and then you can take it from there. That helps you not be able to decipher, right? The universal principles that's in the book, and the mythology that helps you decide the mythology from the time.
Man, you said a mouthful, man.
Yeah.
Whoa, you said a mouthful right there. Wow. I think that was the most profound word that has been said all night.
What, mythology?
Well, yes. the way you actually conveyed it through what you were saying, you actually separate the mythology from the universal purpose of the book. I think
yes.
That, in a nutshell, is the ideal.
Yeah. And
know,
it could be done. It could be done, though. That's where now. This is where history comes in. At. They say, out of all your teachers, the best to move you forward, and I quote this correct all the way with, is history, because it puts it in perspective for you. Let me give y'all an example. If I say the word medjunetu, do any of y'all know what that means?
I bet you if you said it another way, we would, but go ahead.
Now watch this. That means word of God in Egyptian language. The Egyptians called their writings the word of God. Now watch this. Do any of y'all have any of those books? Now, I ain't trying to tell you to go get them. I'm just making a point.
No,
now,
we don't.
This is 5,000 years before there was ever any Bible.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want y'all to go get no books. I'm just making a point. They call their book the Medjunetu, Word of God.
May I
why
actually
come y'all
add
don't know
on
nothing
to
about,
what?
Why come y'all don't know nothing about those?
May I actually just basically not interject, but add on to what you said. During first century, Caesar Augustus at the time, it's actually written on the coins as well. So they actually have history and proof. He was actually called the Son of God during that time. He was actually called Savior of the world. They also said about him that he was born of a virgin, and this is actually dated before Christ as well. So in the light of what he said, when you take things out of context and when you take things in this literal sense, you leave no room for interpretation. What you actually do is you make it doctrine, and I think that's the problem. When you make something doctrine, you actually put a law behind it, and you actually put stipulations behind it. And once you do that, you leave no room for freedom. If that makes any sense to anybody.
No, I think it's right and correct.
Okay.
I know it might be scary, but I mean.
I know that's
on this phone. Do anyone, like the ones that's on the line right now, do y'all believe in God, including the devil's advocate?
Yes, I do. I actually do believe in God.
How about Michigan?
I believe that there's a creative force, and I'm taking that from my experience and history. I believe the concept, God is a concept, and it comes out of the minds of men. And so what the Africans did, now I'm not trying to make y'all no Africans, but here's what they did to make sense. Because man was just one expression of the creative force, they never narrowed it down because they couldn't define it. So they called it a creative force because every expression is an expression of God. See?
Jay, Max.
So in other words, what you're saying in a nutshell, from my interpretation, is the creative force has to be God.
That's correct. I mean, it's the creative force. It's the creative force of everything. Now, let me say this, bro. That's right. It is God. To answer your question, yes, sir. It is God. You're absolutely right.
You know, the only reason why I did that.
Yes, sir.
It is because there was a reason why I needed to do that.
Yeah.
Because let's just say this, before we get into a whole another thing, let's just all at least acknowledge the fact that either we do believe in God or we don't. Now, what your aspect of God is might be different from mine.
Yes, sir.
But let's just agree that we believe in God.
And
so we believe in something that's greater than yourself. You believe that
right,
there's a greater force than you.
Yes.
All right. Now, see, now right there, even in the midst of all of that, that's a great thing. That's
right.
Where you can start right there. You can start
right.
a fellowship just with that concept and perception right there.
But
you know what I mean?
To be honest, there are fellowships like that. They are called, what are they called? Unitarian church. I can't think of the name. I know it starts with a U.
Unitarian.
And basically what they are they're churches who actually accept all types of faith coming together to worship and pray however they choose to pray, but doing it together under one roof. Do you think, and that was leading to my question to you, Jay, do you think that would be something ideal?
My thing is like this, and I'm going to tell you like this, and I truly believe this. The God that I serve, and even though I'm considered a Christian, I do not believe that you can trap God or limit God in a box that small. I believe God is greater than this world, than this earth, than the galaxies, the space. I believe he's bigger than anything. So I believe that if we came together with different religions or whatever, and we're worshiping God or whatever like that, if I was in that place of worship, the only person that I could give an account for is myself with how I'm giving praise to the God that I serve, whatever. I can't praise him for no one else. So, I wouldn't see nothing wrong with it because I know the God that I serve. You know what I'm saying? Because,
like
you said, it's a personal thing. We said that from the beginning. So, I don't see nothing wrong with it.
So, do you think if everybody gets to that point, whether or not they actually believe that Jesus saves or whether or not they actually accept Allah and they accept Muhammad as as their messenger or how the Catholics view Christianity, do you believe that if we all just came together and accepted each other's faiths under one accord or under one roof, or do you think that would be the idea, or do you think that somewhere in you lies, even though we're all worshiping, those people are still going to hell because they don't believe like I believe?
Like, well, me and you had this discussion plenty of times before.
Mm-hmm.
Me, when I walk around and I see people, my mind never thinks. I never put nobody in hell. I'm not one of them type of people.
Good point, Jay.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I don't live my life in the God that I serve, giving him praise and hoping like, Lord, they not right. Send them to hell. That's not right. My thing is like this. I leave that to God. That's not my position.
Yes.
My position is to give God praise and to give him the thanks for my life, for my existence. And I have to hold an account for how I react to in this life.
Okay, Jay, I'm sorry to cut you off, but I have a perfect question for you. And whoever else wants to answer this, is up for grabs. My question to you is, since you are a Christian and you say that it is your duty to actually, worship for self, even though it's your Christian duty to actually, present people to Christ and get people to know Christ. What do you say would you actually raise your kids in your religion?
This is what I do in my household.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, in how I'm gonna even raise my daughters, it's not raising them based upon what church I go to or Christians. It's raising them within the character. I want to be the father of action.
not just what I want them to see my life. Remember before I told you that I'm a Bible,
mm-hmm.
that my life I'm writing every day. So my
mm-hmm.
thing is to write a story, parables, illustrate parables in front of my children that will lead them to acknowledge that there is a God that's greater than them, that there is something. So it's not, I'm not raising them to be trapped in Baptist or trapped in Pentecostal or trapped in Methodist. I'm not raising them to be trapped in that. I'm raising them to live the best life that they can be and try to teach them the principles that God has laid down for us according to the scriptures.
That's good. I was just gonna ask. I was just gonna have a last question. Do you think that you would be okay with them being an upright, fine citizen who actually pays their taxes and does lives very well, takes care of their family, respects themselves and do all that stuff? But
I'm gonna ask you right there. I already know. They may grow up and they may be a Buddhist.
Mm-hmm.
They may grow up because you know what? Life is full of choices. Just like we raise our kids up, right? And we teach them, we want to send them to the greatest schools, but all of a sudden they start smoking crack or they start doing certain things. So you can never, everyone has to make their own choices in life. The only thing I can do is try to lead them to be the best daughters or the best sons that they can possibly be, and to teach them to try their best to follow peace with all men.
That's awesome.
Which is a principle of God.
That's mm-hmm. awesome.
Yeah.
How about you, Apostle Young?
I agree 100% with what Jay said. I would never try to force. I would never try to force my belief on no one, not even my son. But I'm gonna live so. I'm gonna live so that the influence of my life will definitely be used to his benefit. Whether he chooses to follow in the path that I may try to open up for him, it's totally up to him.
Okay.
But the principles will be laid.
Mm-hmm.
Because as a parent, that's what I am supposed to do. The Bible says train up a child in the way that he ought to go, so that when he gets old, he won't depart from it.
Now, I can end it just like that, but because I'm the devil's advocate, I got to do what I do best, cause some problems in some situations. Doesn't that conflict Christianity in a nutshell? Because you're saying that you're okay with your child going to hell.
First of all, I never said somebody that's a Buddhist is going to hell. A Muslim is going to hell. But I don't necessarily believe everything that religious leaders say.
Okay.
I believe just like what Jay said. I'm not condemning nobody to hell because I'm not God.
Okay. Well, I'm not condemning
nobody to hell. My job is when the opportunity presents itself is to share what I believe, preach what I believe.
Okay.
Now it's
how about you?
Eat it or not eat it. You know something? I just want to inject something real quick, and then you can let Michigan go. It's a scripture in the Bible that talks about, like me, I'm a person that, according to my faith, I believe in repenting, I believe in the forgiveness of God and things like that. So I'm an individual who has been forgiven for a lot of stuff. Like, I've done a lot of stuff in my life, right?
Mm-hmm.
So a person that has done a lot of stuff and they have faith and they consider, they believe in repenting and in God's forgiveness, his mercy and grace or whatever like that, that's a person who has more compassion towards mankind. Because when you've been forgiven of something,
right, and you know you've done wrong stuff, you're not so quick to look at another man who's in certain things or quick to judge him and try to condemn him, because that just takes, you might as well condemn yourself when you live your life in a faith and you're condemning everybody. It's like you're condemning yourself, because I'm a man of hope, a man of faith. So when I look at the next brother right now, I had a brother, one of my friends, and he's bad on drugs and everything. But to this day, when I approach him and I deal with him, I don't talk to him like he's on crack. I talk to him the way I want to see him. I deal with him the way I want to see him, or I once knew him to be. So my thing, I'm always looking at the brighter side of things. So I'm not a person in faith or being a Christian that's out condemning and pushing people into a damnated state. I'm a man of hope. You know what I mean? So that's the angle I come from.
That's awesome. How about you, Mr. Michigan?
Yeah, I'm going to give a practical example. I agree with both brothers. My youngest son, he stays with his mom, and she let him, you know, go to church and get baptized and stuff like that. And so he came and told me, he said, "Dad, if you going to hell." I said, "Why I'm going to hell, son?" "Because you don't believe in God, and I'm going to heaven." I said, "Well, where is it at, man?" And he pointed up in the sky. I said, what's the address of heaven?" "It ain't got no address." I said, "What's the address of hell?" "It ain't got no address either." I said, "Heaven is in that trash can over there, son." And he ran over there to look in it. And he said, "Man, heaven ain't in there." I said, "Well, you thought pretty when it came to me at saying something to you. What I want you to do is learn how to think critically at all times."
I have a question. It's not actually my question. It's a question from somebody that just texted me. They said, "Why do Christians treat sinners?" And I'm not talking about, you know, us, because both of you have made yourselves clear on how you treat people of different faiths. But how come there are some Christians, or, you know, other types of Christians, that treat sinners the way they actually do?
Can I answer that?
Uh-huh.
Okay. It alludes back to how Jay opened up the statement.
Mm-hmm.
All right. People forget, once they get saved, once they get a relationship with God, God straightens them out, cleans them up. People have a uncanny knack to forget where they came from. All right?
Okay.
All right? Everybody on this phone is an ex-something. All right? I don't care what it is. You used to do something before you came to the knowledge of Christ, or I don't want to just say Christ. If you came to the knowledge that you needed to straighten yourself up, before you came to that knowledge, you was an ex-something.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens is, when we get ourselves together, we forget about the things that we used to do, and then we put ourselves on this personal pedestal to where we're greater than everybody else. All right? And the bottom line is, God don't want us to forget where we came from, because if you forget where you came from, you lose the ability to stay humble. And as long as you can stay humble, it's the humble folks that God is going to use in this hour. It ain't the folks that think they superior than anybody else. Just because you got yourself together, you still just an ex whatever you used to be. But thank God for the grace of God. Now you don't necessarily have to waddle in what you used to be, but you can be thankful for where you are now. But you still got to be humble enough for somebody to look on you to want to be like you.
Mm.
And see, the problem is, people forget what they used to be and want to throw what they are down somebody else's throat. And that's not what this thing is about. we got to, in order to reach, in order to teach one, you got to reach one. And see, the problem is we get saved, and then all of a sudden we become Christian elitists where we're not touchable. Jesus was touchable. Jesus didn't just hang out with folks that were saved. He hung out with the unsaved as well as the saved. And then when we start getting the mindset like Jesus had, a lot of this foolishness will stop.
Something I noticed like too? A lot of people that I know that may consider themselves sinners, you see, you know what? You know, the majority of people that's more worried about Christians, the way a Christian looks at them, is someone who is really familiar with Christians or who may once was or grew up in church and know the experience of it. Because the average cat that's in the street dealing drugs and doing, you know, all types of, you know, crazy stuff, whatever, living his life, doing what he's doing, really not really thinking about what the Christian or how he's being looked at or portrayed. Like, you got a lot of people that right now, they don't go to church no more, and they've probably been hurt in church or whatever. Those are the ones that mainly feel some type of way or view, you know what I'm saying, that gives them that perception of why they looking down on me. You know what I'm saying? Like, a lot of times, that be the case, too. It's not just that the sinner who's just out there has no dealings with church at all, wasn't raised in church, never had no fellowship with church at all. It's normally the ones that had a fellowship before, or they are familiar with individuals that are Christians, but they're doing the opposite now.
And I'm going to chime in on what Jay just said. Sometimes conviction can feel like condemnation.
Mm-hmm.
All right? Because a preached word that is purposed to convict can also make a person feel condemned. But the thing is, the individual has to decipher which one it is, which one they're going to embrace. Are you going to embrace the conviction? Because conviction leads to salvation. Now, if you're going to embrace condemnation, condemnation leads to rebellion. And a lot of what so-called sinners are doing, they're confusing conviction and condemnation.
Because that's true, right? And just say, let's say Michigan. I'm just using that as an example. Let's say Michigan, right? He beats his wife, right? He whoops her up on her head, right? And one day he goes to church, and he hears the preacher preaching on, you ought to be ashamed of yourself. You're less than a man if you're putting your hands on a woman. He's going in with scriptures and he's saying that. He can either leave there two ways, changed or mad. You can leave that church and feeling like, oh, now they all judgmental. They don't know me. They don't like, you know what I'm saying? Or you can leave there with a thought like, you know what? Wow. He just gave me an example of a mirror. Now I can see the reflection of what I'm doing.
Michigan, did you want to say something to that?
No. That's real talk there.
Oh.
That's real talk.
I don't beat
my wife though.
Okay, we know that, bro.
I know.
In a lot of ways that's actually true.
Conviction and condemnation.
No. I said in a lot of ways that everything that you said is actually. I agree with to some extent, but dealing with big issues like that. Okay, that's totally understood. But there are other type of issues where a Christian may see something as being wrong, but someone may not see it as being wrong. And because I may not see it as being wrong, but you may see it as being wrong, and you're actually trying to condition me to convict myself when in actuality I may not see it as being wrong. For instance, hypothetically speaking, let's say that I'm gay. And I don't believe that I suffer from homosexuality. I believe it's who I am. But if the preacher is actually preaching against homosexuality and trying to actually condemn me, then that's when it becomes kind of a toss-up in the air between conviction and condemning, because I may not see that as neither.
That it all depends on the individual. Mm-hmm. That's an individual thing.
Well, let's just say like this, right? For an example, if you got a dude that's going around killing kids, right? He's killing kids on the low. Nobody knows. He's the serial killer killing kids. He goes to the church and hears the word, and the word is being preached, and it's preaching. You know what I mean? Don't kill or you know what I'm saying? Don't do that type of wickedness. But he feels as though that it's okay, that he's not doing, he's being who he is. Just because he feel that way.
I'm sorry to interject on that, but you are actually comparing someone who's actually doing harm to someone else to someone who feels as though this is who they are and they're not doing harm to anybody. I would never compare homosexuality to a child molester, and that is so inappropriate to even suggest that.
No. What I'm saying is the perception of it. We're talking about scripture now. We're talking about a preacher, because according to the Bible is against homosexuality.
Well, no, that leads to perception of scripture.
No. So, well, you know what? It can go left field.
Yeah,
it
can.
We don't got
that
much time. We might can save that for another topic.
Okay.
But I know the scriptures, the Bible that I read, I don't really see nothing in the Bible where it's meant for man to lay with man. I don't see that. We'll save that. But we are going to touch on that topic because we will touch on that topic, and not to offend nobody, but we're going to talk, because on this show we're going to confront issues. That's what Dirty Church Radio is all about: confronting issues and trying to get some balance and hearing the views of the people, not to offend. But we all have a right to try our best to impart something to each other, even if it's just not to make us think for a moment.
May I ask how many more minutes I'm asking, because I would like
right now
we have
5 minutes, and
okay,
in fact we got 3, because the last 2 minutes I need to say a little something online, but we got 3 minutes.
Can we all interject with a last statement to sum up what all of us may think?
Yes, you can. And we can start with Michigan.
Okay, well, peace, brothers. I really appreciate you guys letting me talk, and I think this is a very good dialogue. I would just make a couple suggestions. Find out most of what we're talking about. These are concepts: sin, heaven, hell. I would suggest that everybody do their research on what concepts are, and then particularly look into the history of all of those concepts. Concepts come out of the minds of men, period. And when you know that, that means they have a history. When they have a history, they have intentions behind them. When you study history, you can know the intentions.
Okay. All right. Just before you actually go, we want to make sure that you actually stay posted with us, stay abreast with us as well. You can actually follow Minister Jermaine on Facebook to see the up-and-coming shows. We really, 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 really enjoyed you, and I know I'm not speaking for myself.
We really enjoyed you, bro.
Yes, and you know, we definitely would not mind you coming back on and sharing some more insight and some more of your opinions on any other upcoming shows.
Okay. Yeah, peace, family.
Thank you. Take care. Apostle Lewis, yeah, would you like to say anything to wrap up?
Well, God is love. I love all you guys, including the young lady that's on the line. If we just learn how to just love one another, even if we agree to disagree, love, man. Love covers a multitude of sins and disagreements. So if we could just love one another, that's the start of unification right there. Love one another. I love you guys.
Love you too, bro.
Love you too. Would you like for me to go now?
Yeah, you can go, Aaron.
I just want to say that what we can do is not take things so literal. By doing so, I think that we would give ourselves room to listen and give room to actually pay attention to the more important things in life than basing our whole life on someone else's reality. And by doing so, I really, really, really believe that we can take our faith and we can take our unity to another level. Mr. Devil's Advocate.
Now, is the young lady from Nashville still on the line?
No, nah, she's off the line now. She's off.
Okay, all right.
Well, everyone, this is Minister Jay Miller, Dirty Church Radio. I thank God for my host, Aaron Spradley, a.k.a. the Devil's Advocate, on this show. And we thank God for our man of God, Apostle Lewis Young. I thank these brothers for their time. And I mean, these are very busy men. They have their own lives. But I believe Dirty Church Radio is not only good for everyone out there, but I believe it's teaching us three some things.
Yeah.
I believe it's teaching us to be able to come together with our opinions or with, you know, our knowledge, wisdom, and giving each other the chance to express it. And that's what this show is all about. We don't want to rob nobody of being able to express who they are and what they've experienced. And we want to try to give them the time and the chance to express and give us some insight on that. This is Dirty Church Radio. You can join us during the week. Our times will be posted on Blog Talk Radio. You could check in every day. And you'll see the different topics we're going to be talking. We're going to be dealing with a whole lot of different issues. It's really no issue that we're not going to be covering, but I just want those out there just to keep us in mind and tell your friends, tell your family to call in, check us out. We're trying to, you know, get this thing going real good, but I believe it's a great thing. I really enjoyed myself tonight. I believe tonight was one of the best nights that we've had so far.
Yes, it was.
Going with
it really was.
Great show. Great show.
I mean, it was a great show. And to the next time, you be blessed. I pray God's love upon your lives. Peace. We love you all.
Is it off?
Yeah, it's off, yo. What's going on, man?
Man, listen, I really, really, really want to say that was an awesome show.
Dude, that was, I don't even have the words, dog. Dude, that show right there was off the chain.
Yes, it was, man. Whoa.
That show was off the chain right there.
Yeah, man. For real.
That show right there. And, Jay, I told y'all that it was going to be more people on the line next time.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
It's going to get, watch.
Yo,
it's going to get bigger and bigger.
The guy from Michigan, did y'all know him?
Nope. Nah, not him.
I don't know him.
That's crazy,
yeah,
man.
The girl.
Now, Jay, hold up, Jay.
Knew,
this is what I was saying. When I said you fell into it, When I told you I was trying to warn you on the slide, you dealing with a guy like that Ellis Phelps.
No, I hear you, right? But listen, Lou, with that, I don't need no warning. This thing is raw. It's raw on 30 Church Radio.
Well, you know, I'm gonna listen.
No, I feel what you're saying, but my thing is like this. I'm not, you know, the thing about all of us on here. No one is going to be 100% right.
Yes, no, that ain't what I'm saying. It wasn't about being right or wrong.
No, I knew where he was coming from. I knew who I had on the line. I knew.
Okay, that's all I'm saying. I wanted you to know who was on the line.
But listen, the only thing I got to say is that was awesome how nobody knew him, and he called in. That was the first caller that none of us had anything to do with.
Nah,
That was crazy. Then for him to actually interject and be a part of the conversation the way he did, I think that was awesome. I mean, that was, man, Jay, I really, really believe that this was the right thing to do, because this really gives people an avenue that would probably have no other way to voice their opinion.
Yeah.
This is an awesome thing, Jay.
Yeah, it is, man.
This is awesome.
It is. It really is.
Yeah, man. So it's. I was looking at it, man. I can't wait to listen to this joint.
Yeah, me neither. So hurry up and post it, man. Hurry up and post this one, man. I'm listening to this joint.
I'm gonna call y'all tomorrow, right? Yeah,
okay.
Probably tomorrow. Like the next after this one, I'm gonna pick the next topic. But the next two after that, y'all two gonna pick them.
Okay,
and
yeah, I'm ready. I'm ready.
This one I'm about to drop, or y'all gonna mess your head up. So I ain't gonna even say that right now. But yeah, but listen, the thing about it, man, listen, y'all guys was great. I'm telling you, I enjoyed it so much to the point where I didn't want to do too much talking. Like I was really listening. You know what I'm saying?
Me too.
I really felt, even though, you know, I'm the host of the show, we, you know, y'all hosting and everything, but I felt like a caller too. Listening to a good show.
That's a good thing.
Yeah, it really is.
So I think that was great, man. You know what I mean? Yo, did y'all hear the song playing in the beginning?
Yeah, mm-hmm. I heard it in the beginning, yep.
Oh, okay. I was just making sure, man. Just making sure y'all heard that joint.
Yeah.
All right. Well, look, man.
But I am the treasure, though. Don't get it.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Believe it or not, I am the treasure.
Yeah.
Every time I look at myself, I'm going to say, I am the treasure.
There you go.
For right now, you know what I mean, we're going to start the show. That's going to be the song that's going to start the show, you know what I mean, for a little bit, you know what I mean, just to get it going, you know what I mean? Because I believe that just the way the song is, it brings...
it brings purpose to the show.
It clears the atmosphere, man.
You know what I'm saying? Mm. So I think, I really enjoyed it, man. And I'm glad that it's y'all two that's on here. You know what I mean? I know eventually it's going to be others really wanting to get on here, but where it's going to go at. I'm going to tell y'all, brothers, right? I see this, man. I'm telling you, I see this kind of getting big, man.
It's gonna get big, Jay.
Yeah, it definitely is.
It's gonna get
big. It's really up to us to actually promote it. And once we do what we have to do, it's gonna take off. Definitely.
Yeah.
You know.
Definitely.
Until next time, yo, please put it up ASAP because I'm trying to listen to it now.
No, it's about to be up right now.
Okay.
It's about to be up right now.
All right. I'll talk to all your brothers soon.
All right, man.
All right.